Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings. Hi, America.
Hi, America. Hi, Connor.
Hi. How are you? We sound so good.
We do sound so good.
Wait. I love sitting in the center of the couch like this. I never realized how much the guest was holding me back. I feel like a fucking...
You're always on the left side.
I was going to say I feel like a queen, and it's like, do you want to unpack that?
Investigate.
Do you think my gender's weird? I feel like you're a good person to ask. You tell me if you thought something was up, right?
You know, I think you have...
Oh, you've wondered.
...masculine and feminine energy inside of you, as I think everybody has a balance of it, but
not
I don't...
Not everybody.
Well,
you're right.
I mean, like, some really feminine women, cis women, maybe don't have that much masculine energy in them. But, like, for example, I have friends I played in college with who are super feminine cis women, but they, like, have this masculine energy inside of them when they play soccer.
Yeah.
So,
like me with theater.
Exactly. When you could be a papa.
A songbird. Put me on stage. Also, like, I need feminine energy, like, because who's going to mother my children?
Exactly. And I was going to say, like, I don't know. You know the answer to it more than anybody, but I would say you have.
No, people at home are like, this isn't your thing. Shut up. Stop trying to make
Michael
it
Abber's
thing.
Mom, oh, what? You need another thing.
Literally. Could you imagine me like...
You're aside. You're sober. You're already a gay man.
Yeah.
You are a believer.
Watch me come out. Like on Sober, I post about my sober anniversary.
It's coming up.
Yes. If no one gives it attention on the internet, then I'll be like, wait, and they, this, and I'm they.
This episode will come out 2 days before your sober anniversary. It's this week.
Yeah, the thing with sobriety is, like, if it's a birthday, you know you're going to turn 28.
Yeah.
If it's a sober thing, it's like, hope you make it. Like, hope you get there. This could come out and it's like, it's kind of like when someone dies and then something kind of comes out posthumously of them.
Sure.
My sobriety, this could be that.
How do you feel this time of year?
Oh, well, you know, I love spring. I think it's great that I was born in the spring. It makes a lot of sense.
Totally.
It's kind of like, I'm always in a state
of
change.
It's when things are born.
Yeah. But you could make that state for, case for any season. I said this to you. I was like, this is a great time to buy a cologne, but that's true for every change of season.
You can make it work anytime you want.
I know. So I do like that. Like, I think it's nice. I was born on the last day of April. It was an overcast day because the storm was a brewing. And
here he came.
Here he came. So I love spring. I love, this is my favorite time of year.
Okay,
when people
cool.
are born at like weird times of year, I'm like, that's such a waste.
Yeah.
Sorry, January. Yeah. Mostly.
Sorry, January. Sorry, Jesse. Sorry, Capricorns.
Yeah, that's a tough birthday.
Yeah, she does. I mean, now it's famously January 6th, so that's kind of tough.
Wait, we have to talk about cologne.
Yes, wait, before we talk about cologne, because that can be one of our boys clubs today, can you tell me what you were talking about just now? The debtor's prison? Where were you?
Wait, you're pointing in a way that I like really... liked a lot.
I just pointed at him and said, you went to debtor's prison.
I've never felt more seen or cared about or included.
I think if you were to go to prison again, it would be debtor's prison. No offense.
Well, Nico, you know they're after me.
The SRI.
The IRS. Me, anytime someone says they're going to do mushrooms, I say, well, you're not on SSRIs, right? They usually aren't.
You have to check in.
You have to. No, the state of Illinois thinks I owe the money, but I don't. My dad fucked up my taxes. Yes, my dad did do my taxes a couple years ago.
Well, this has been an ongoing discussion, you and the Illinois tax.
They've taken their foot off the gas
a little bit. That's good. I mean, I think eventually they just kind of give up.
I do think if for anyone listening, I actually do think they're wrong.
Well, if you owe like 50K, they might pursue you. But if it's like under 10 grand, I feel like they'll just like figure it out.
And it's like, you're going to be wrong and bad at phones. That's
yeah, you can't be doing that.
You have to choose. Do you want to kind of be...
Answer the phone?
And it feels like it's exploiting. It's exploitative. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
That I don't like that word.
It's exploitative?
It's one of those.
Exploitative? Exploitative.
It's fucked up of the system.
It is.
To make a gay guy in the middle of the day. I could have a job. You don't know.
Yeah, he has a job. He's recording a podcast right now.
Their hours are like 9 to 5 central.
Yeah. So it's like, who's to say? We don't have 10 to 6.
I've got two kids, no husband. It's like, I don't have time for this.
A single mom who works two jobs. And
my dad's like, I can't call for you. I know people are going to be like, stop being invited to your dad. My dad's like, I can call for you because like you have to talk to them. I was like, you want to know something? They don't know who's on the phone.
True.
You can call. You don't have a job.
You can be Connor Janda.
He absolutely could be Connor Janda. And it's like, I love you, Dad. Like, you know this stuff. And like, this is the only thing I need from you. And like, I'm sober. And like, I'm not saying it's your fault, but you had a hand in it.
Sure.
And, like, the least you could do is this.
Is right your wrongs.
Is to call the state of Illinois and get them to figure it out.
For sure.
It's hard. Wait, but I went to this thing called the Debt Gala.
The Debt Gala. Now, walk us through what that is.
Okay, so the Debt Gala was like the Met Gala, but a fundraiser. And it was at the Bell House, and it's to, you know, I never realized, not to be privileged on pod, but how many debts people can have.
Oh, it was that. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
Medical debt and student debt and.
Well, that's amazing.
Other kinds. Yes. So my job was to kind of just like interview people on the red carpet with it, which is nice. Cause I was like, wait, I could have just been a gay guy in media this whole time. And then people are like, you're so good at this. And I was like, talking at people?
For sure you are.
And yeah, but it's like.
The boys at home know that, 106 episodes later.
We could have been Ryan Seacrest this whole time.
Oh my God, I saw a hilarious TikTok of Ryan Seacrest, of Simon Cowell roasting Ryan Seacrest. Well, it was kind of bad probably because he was making jokes about him being gay, but to his face.
What year was it?
It was original American Idol, so early 2000s.
Oh, and Ryan was like,
and Ryan Seacrest was like, ha ha ha.
Gay people, and we're actually closer to AIDS then than we are even now. Yeah. And they're just laughing.
Well, he was trying to make, I think Ryan Seacrest said something snarky towards, maybe that was a charged way to say it. He said something like,
no, I don't think snarky's charged.
Towards Simon Cowell, and then Simon Cowell said, like, oh,
is
he said
snarky charged?
I don't know. Okay.
Is that like a gay word?
I have no idea. I just associate snarky, sassy, bitchy with like kind of.
Wait,
ways
bro?
To undermine the way that women and gay men voice their complaints.
Well, thank you for defending me.
Well, of course.
I didn't realize that. Wait, it's funny that you're saying this right now.
Yeah.
Because in junior year of high school, uh-huh. I was in AP English. No problem.
No problem. Got and a 2 on the test. No problem.
AP, yes. Well, that one I got a 4. It was the writing one. I couldn't do the literature, but the writing I excelled in.
For sure.
And which brings me to my next point. But one time I said this word snarky, uh-huh. And then Frank Winton, who has moved back to Philadelphia.
He's come up before, I think.
Hold up your white flag. He's moved back to Philadelphia. He said, snarky's, that's a word? And he was like the smart kid. And I was like, pretty sure it's a word. And it's like, sorry that I'm kind of like working with a bigger vocabulary than the rest of you. I'm gay. I'm out here watching Veronica Mars at night.
Yeah, we have words to find.
And you're chasing puss. Sorry. wait, last thing I want to say about this kid. So this guy's supposed to go to do, I'll never forget this. Be careful in high school because people will remember everything about you. So if you're a minor, just be careful.
Be careful.
Be careful.
If you're a minor, be careful.
So this kid, Frank Worthington, he was in my AP class the next year. That year I got a 2. And he was like, going to go to Duke, but then he ended up going to Williams. And then he'd be like, I'm going to Williams. And then people would be like, okay. And he'd be like,
it's the best liberal arts college. Was
we already
kid.
Talked about this.
I remember because he was obsessed with Williams, right?
And then one time when I was blackout drunk, I peed on his chair at his
right,
parents' house.
Right. No, wow. I'm just piecing it together that it's all the same guy.
Same guy.
Frank Worthington.
Yeah, same man.
Sorry, man. Wait. There was a kid, speaking of Duke, this kid actually did go to Duke. There was this kid I grew up with who went to my school, and he... when we were in like sixth grade, he was giving a presentation and he used the word cattywampus and the class went nuts.
What is that?
It means like all over the place.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm over here bragging about snarky. Frank Worthington would have had a mental breakdown.
He would have literally
in that class.
Fallen apart.
Cattywampus?
Cattywampus.
Wait, C or K? Can I have it in a sentence?
Okay.
Wait, I need to go with this.
Let's, I'm trying to think
really
of a good
literary.
Sentence for it. Connor's room was all cattywampus.
Sam Schaefer just texted me, what's your email? I have to respond just because I'm like, is it a free thing? I'm sorry. Wait, Connor's room was... Really, you think so?
No, I'm just saying it.
I shut my door.
These flowers are cattywampus.
They're not tulips. That's an alive hydrangea.
Those are living flowers of the dead.
Living hydrangeas or dead tulips. Either work.
Either works.
Wait, cattywampus?
cattywampus. Cattywampus.
Oh my God. Wait, because I was going to be like,
it means like disheveled, doesn't it?
But what I feel, it means it's another example of grand 19th century American slang. In addition to askew, cattywampus may refer to an imaginary fierce wild animal or it may mean savage, destructive. Cattywampus.
Okay, I think he misused it because my understanding was it meant disheveled.
Well, he was a kid.
And thank you for defending him.
I do think askew and disheveled can be cousins.
Could be cousins of cattywampus. Okay, anyway.
Wait, but I was going to be like, oh, it is a word in a way that felt undermining to you. And then it reminded me that when I was a kid, I got home from school with my brother, my younger brother, probably my older brother too, but he was like not very helpful, but my younger brother. And there was a fire in the yard and we told our neighbor.
In
was,
your yard?
Yes.
And our caused neighbor, by what?
It was just in the back and our neighbor was an Irish immigrant. And so we went, we told her, we're like, there's a fire in our yard.
And she said, there's a famine over here.
She comes over. That was good for Scotland, I think. No offense. Was it okay. Irish?
The hills of Ireland. You have to learn.
Breathless. Wait, maybe it was good Irish. I hate that.
There's a famine over here.
Wait, you know, if there was
That's not bad.
If there was, if my mom was here, she'd be like, you know, it was a genocide. It was actually a genocide.
No, I know it was.
Oh, you do?
Well, that's like, I mean,
your school was so good. Country Day, shout out.
Shout out not to them, because that's not where I learned it.
Where did you learn it?
Dairy Girls.
Yes. My mom loves to be like, you know, it was a genocide. It
of
was
course.
Actually, it was.
Listen, if was Catholics, if Catholics and Italians and Irish people, well, Irish people really were persecuted, but if Catholics can find a way to get in on that.
Maybe all of those people at different times.
At different times.
Not now.
Well, not so much Catholics, I don't think. I mean, there's, of course, everybody was sort of.
I think that if we were to get a big enough history book, we could. Like, I think we're in the Crusades. Like,
one of the, I think the Crusades were when the Catholics were being bad.
Oh.
There's a lot of history of that.
Well, you know why we don't know that? Because we went to Catholic school and they
yeah, and they probably glossed right over that. We're going to need a big old history book for that one. Wait, okay, we were talking about.
But she comes over and we're like, there's a fire in the yard. And then she comes over and the way she's like, I think about this to this day. I had to be 8 years old. She's like, there is a fire. And we're like, yeah, lady, we just told you that. We'll color you surprise. Is that what there is a fire.
She said, these three gay kids did not cry wolf.
And she's like, where's your brother? We're like, I don't know. He's reading a dictionary somewhere, not helping.
Wow. Like, we were managing. It was just you and Nathan, 8 and 5 against yeah. the world.
So it is, I felt bad because I was like, oh, it is a word. No, we know. You just said it. I believe you. I totally believe you. I'll never doubt you again.
Okay, back to the debtor's prison.
Okay. So it was called the Debt Gala. And it was like raising money. And I was just kind of like, I was with Sarah Burkmark. She was doing it
Love.
Too. So what I
Shout
realized
out,
was.
Former guest of the pod.
I was honored to be asked. Being asked was such an honor. It was kind of like, hey, you're not, we don't want to hear your written stuff, but you're good at rambling. Thanks. So it was like some comics were there. Chloe Radcliffe, I consider her to be a very radiant force.
Yeah.
We should get her on here.
We should get her on here. She's super funny. Yeah, I think so.
I think she's like such a radiant force.
She's really funny. Yeah.
Like, I think she's like, you're talking and you're like, you're a force.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. She's like wearing some like thrifted crop. I shouldn't done talk about women like this, but I was like, you're a fucking force. But I was talking to this British girl that was there who was a volunteer and she was telling me about how her visa is about to run out.
Oh no.
So I told, yeah. So I learned a lot about visas and I was like, do you want to, I can get you a job at my Pilates studio maybe. And she said that would be illegal. And then I learned a lot about the laws related to that. So
why would that be illegal?
Well, the thing with a visa I know now from yesterday is that you, if you are on a student visa, the job you get has to be related to the industry that you got your degree in, which makes a Tisch degree even less valuable. Cause it's like, couldn't you, psychology could be anything.
Yeah.
Like, so that's sad.
I mean, if it's a performance arts degree, she can't say that she's performing art for the Women of Solid Core.
I don't know. It does feel like a bit of a performance. Sometimes. Women.
He said with glassy eyes.
We sometimes get men, you know.
Yeah, I saw your post yesterday of bring your own boyfriend.
Husband, they're married.
Husband, BYOH.
Wait, but tell me about you. You got okay, cologne. Can yeah. I Google the cologne you got?
Yes, my boys club today is cologne because I got a new cologne. I'm feeling very much in this boys club because now I have a winter and a summer scent. Boys, don't think that we're getting rich off this pod because we're not. I am spending money I don't have, but I
you
smell
have
incredible.
To spend money to make money.
I agree, and I smell incredible, and nobody has ever said no to an incredibly smelling man is what they say, so... Wait, I think it's a key to success.
I want to pull up because you were talking about how...
It's called, I think it's Rivulets, or that's the blue one.
No, that's the one that I got on eBay today.
Okay, what it is, it's by...
The Bright Hot Set.
Bright Hot.
Okay, so the top note is plum tobacco leaf. So when I said tobacco, oh, you so, looked shocked at me.
Well, because this is what happened. I walked in and you said, can I smell you? And I said, yes, 1 second. And then you said, sorry, I sprayed Febreze everywhere. And I said, you're trying
hey,
to...
It wasn't Febreze. It was berry.
Okay, whatever.
It was like a nice expensive bay leaf.
Okay, thing. My bad. And then I said, you're trying to cover me up. And you said, what? Is it smell like tobacco? And I was like, in my head, I was like, were you just like smoking in here or something? And I was like, no, I don't smell tobacco. That's why I was confused.
So tobacco leaves, it's a very masculine scent. Not cigarettes, tobacco.
Tobacco.
Actually, remember in The Parent Trap, she says, my grandfather smells like peppermint and pipe tobacco. But at the time, I thought pepperoni. And it was like, it was like delicious. But as it wasn't,
he smells even, like a smoking pizza.
It's funny. It's not even that I saw it again. I was just kind of like thinking back yeah. in my head about it years later. And I was like, it's not pepperoni.
Yeah.
It's not a synonym.
Okay. So this cologne that I got is from Pleasing, which is Harry Styles' brand. And
Uncut King.
Uncut King. Here's the thing. I don't really. So I went to the store. I went to the pop-up store in Soho when they had it during its like winter market
or
whatever.
Did?
Yeah. That's when I found this. Was Sam and I went. Over the,
I was confused about why you were getting the orange one
in the holidays. Yeah,
that makes total sense.
We went over the like it. Holidays because they had a pop up thing, and I remember he and I smelled these colognes, and we were like, "Oh my god, these are amazing summer scents!" And then now that summer's here, I want it, so I ordered it. But I will say, if you're looking to get anything from his collection, my thought is the colognes are the only thing that are worth it. The rest of it's kind of blah. Like the clothes and stuff.
You know, I went to that pop-up shop.
And it's dead.
It had clothes like Araby and James Joyce's Araby.
I know.
Do you know that story?
No. Wait, is that the one really... where? Is that the one where they each give each other?
No, that's Gift of the Magi.
Gift of the Magi.
But like
of course.
That's like a similar vibe. Araby's like this kid. He might be like 11 or something, and he's like working. And then this girl invites him to a carnival. And I think she's a little older, maybe 13. Not illegal.
Sure, licorice pizza vibes.
I didn't see that, but
okay.
But I feel like all the guys I think are hot liked it. So
yeah, I hate that movie personally.
Well, except for you. So okay, so but he goes to the carnival and he gets out of work, and when he gets there, the carnival's closed, and it's kind of like a coming of age thing where it's like, oh, I know sadness now.
Sure,
that was me showing up to the Harry Styles pop up that had left town.
Yeah,
and you're just an empty storefront on Crosby Street.
Yeah, and there's nothing in there, and I know that too because we went by to go buy it in person, and it was closed. So
it's like they just like left in the middle. We did. We went by
me and
times.
By we, I mean me and Sam.
Can't even imagine.
Sorry, we got to start inviting you shopping, I guess.
If I saw you in Soho, I literally would be like, I know, no, yeah, you guys like love to do that without me. I don't know if it's that I'm like, it's my vibe or my outfits that you don't think would be a match.
What are you talking about?
No, I don't know. It's okay.
Like, okay, we'll start.
You don't want to shop with everybody. Like, there's some people that's like, I want to do a podcast with
I would definitely shop with you. I've shopped with you.
What would you not want to do with me? Grocery shop.
Well, okay, maybe. I think I would not. I don't know. There's not much I wouldn't want to do with you. I love hanging out with you.
No, physical activity.
I would like skiing with you because I think you would give it a rest and then you'd go inside.
I'd sit on my butt.
Yeah, or you'd sled. You'd find something. I'm never worried about you not figuring out how to deal with yourself.
That's my thing with clubbing. I am good. What I don't want is I don't need the perception of other people trying to tell me how to have fun.
Yes.
I'm having a great time.
Yes.
I've created up a life story for everyone in here in my head, and I'm having a great time.
I know. I'm never worried about you.
I know, it's never you. You always kind of let me do my own thing.
Of course.
All these haters. These enemies out here.
Okay, wait. There was something else I was going to say about the cologne.
Wait, I have it pulled up right here. So this might
be
boring.
Okay, so it's plum and tobacco
plum
leaves?
Plum tobacco leaves are the top notes.
Sure.
And then the mid notes are orris, butter, and marine accord.
No, I don't know what any of those things other than butter are.
Or marine is fish?
What?
Marine.
Oh,
like the sea.
The sea. Oh, okay. Well, it's
like
got
marines.
Okay. Well, it's definitely got like that summery coastal smell.
I feel like your vibe. We were talking about the beaches of Normandy earlier. Off pod. Yeah.
Off pod. We were talking about the beaches of Normandy.
And that might be your vibe. Like you just blew in with the beaches of Normandy.
Okay.
Dry. So I guess that's when it dries on you. What? I don't know. Why someone at home is like these idiots.
Yeah.
Cedar. This one's a lot. So cedarwood, tonka bean, absolute, comma, vanilla, absolute, Madagascar. And that's one thing. And then crisp amber.
Okay, I mean, I'm smelling it.
Is crisp an adjective or a type of amber?
I don't know. See, this is where our boys club knowledge falls apart, is I don't know what any of that means, and I don't have a sophisticated enough nasal palate to understand
I'm
how
so
to
intrigued
find
by
those
this.
Things. I mean, I guess I kind of get the plum, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, boys, if you're looking for fellows at home, anybody who wants a summery masculine scent, go check out the orange bottle from Pleasing. This is not an ad. This is an earnest plug.
You've got to be wearing fragrance. And ideally, it's like every time you're in a new relationship, it's one fragrance. Because that way, you capitalize that fragrance in that person's brain and they'll never be at peace. They'll
now,
never know peace.
What if it wasn't a game? What if it wasn't a game?
You unplugged my mic. No.
Okay, I will say though, when somebody has a signature scent, it really, if you ever smell it again, you like immediately taken back.
Yes, like DS and Durga reminds me of Fire Island.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was wearing, got that for the first time, and I still have it. I love that fragrance. One time.
Oh, your own fragrance reminds you of that.
Every guy I've ever made out with is obsessed. Why do I keep doing this? What I'm going to do anyway. But it wears that Dove Blue.
Okay.
I hate that. Stop wearing that.
Wait, what's Dove Blue?
It's like I actually think it's an antiperspirant type of spray that these men wear.
It's just Dove's, spray antiperspirant?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not a cologne.
I don't like that smell. Stop wearing that.
Stop wearing it, fellas. Get it a real cologne.
Yeah.
They are expensive. But go get, you know what you can do, boys at home?
Dossier.
Well, Dossier. Dossier is that, sort of knockoff one, but they make good stuff. Or you can go to the store, go to your local mall, go to your local store, wherever, and get the free rollers. And just do that.
Those are free?
They give you samples. Sorry, the big rollers, like the longer tube rollers, those are not free. But you can get samples.
The worst things in life come free to us.
The worst thing? What is that from again?
Ed Sheeran, A-Team.
Of course. Of course. I heard the craziest Bad Habit remix in the Uber the other day.
I hate that.
Yeah.
That is an Uber song.
It is an Uber song.
Wait, what's funny is the last song you mentioned hearing in an Uber was Selena Gomez, Single Soon.
Single Soon, which I still don't understand. There's a really niche. I know one person right now who maybe is listening to that song. You know what I think the boys at home have probably been missing from our chats recently, and it's kind of, your silence on it has been deafening.
Mine?
Yeah. Tortured Poets.
Have I not referenced it?
I don't think we've talked about it once.
You're kidding.
I really don't think we've talked about it.
Oh.
To be fair, I still haven't listened to it fully.
I love Taylor Swift. I really appreciate all that she does. I don't care about her personal life literally at all, which is why I don't call myself a Swiftie.
Of course.
I think the people that are like, Travis Kelce this, Travis Kelce, it's like, okay, well, I'm trying to start my marriage.
Yeah.
I'm worried about me over here. And they're like, this song's about Matt Healy. And it's like, really? I think it's about my ex.
Yeah.
So that's how you're supposed to consume art.
I know. That's a great point. And thank you for saying that.
Oh my God, I was scared.
Thank you for saying that, because I think that is something that people in general, this is a trend that we're seeing way too much in everybody's consumption of art. And I think it has to do with the way that the internet and algorithms are pushing things to us, is that it's a curated feed for you. And so you put yourself in the center of what you're viewing, right? You're putting yourself in the center rather than, but in a way that's like, let me redo this. Back up. Let me try again. People are either putting themselves way too in the center of it, where it's like, if this doesn't apply to me, I hate it. Yeah. Or they are trying to look way too into the person and not understanding, like, you should engage with art in the way that it fits your life, like you were saying.
It is this really weird intersection of celebrity culture and art that's happening with her.
Yes, yes.
And I don't...
Obsession.
And I don't know if she likes it, or I don't even...
It's like this deification of her that in creation of all this lore.
This one review that I really loved about it was an Esquire, and it was kind of like, it was chaotic, it was at times good, and it was at best, the best of all, it was human. And in a time where she is in a 24-hour news cycle, blah, 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 like, isn't it nice that this somehow humanizes her, that it's going to just like a normal mid out, like... It's not bad. It's good.
Yeah.
Some of it I love. Some of it I'll listen to forever.
Yeah.
It's not a world that I want to live in forever as an album.
Yeah.
Which, like, 1989, I fucking love 1989.
It's so fun.
I love Folklore. It's, yes. 1989 is summer. Lover is spring. Folklore is just, I love it. But
that's so funny. To me, Lover is, and maybe, is New Year's Day on that album? No, New Year's Day is on, it is?
No, Reputation. Can you believe that?
But for some reason, does she say Christmas lights in Lover? She does, right? We'll let the Christmas lights hang
till January.
So for me, that's when that takes place.
Totally. I don't know, like London Boy is such like a spring song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And obviously Cruel Summer, come on.
Yes.
Anthem of like May and June.
God, that's such a pretty album.
It's a cruel summer.
Some total sleepers on there, but also really pretty.
That's a great song.
I think
song.
That there's this like weird thing happening with where she is, and I don't know if it's because she's bopped genres so much but like there's this expectation that her music is for everybody and that we all need to love it. And it's like, why would we all love an album? Everyone likes different things.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know that there's another artist where it's like, yeah, we're all going to love this album. Like, no.
It's really not meant to be that way.
I know. Yeah. I'm like very anti the whole thing, but I do like it. There's some songs that I think are just like really lovely.
I do feel like we're on the tail end of, and maybe it was just because the Super Bowl was such a height of heights for her and like Travis and all that stuff. So maybe we're kind of on the tail end of it, but I feel like it's she's coming down a bit.
Oh, you mean her
not
fame?
In a bad way? No, no, and I don't mean that in like a she's got having like a massive fallout or a teardown or whatever. But I just think we're on like the we're on the crest of her like mega fame that we saw this year, like from the Eras Tour through the Super Bowl. I feel like she was just like constantly a headline, and maybe she still is, and I'm just not paying attention as much anymore. But it feels like that's burst a little bit.
I wonder so many things about her. I really love her. Like, I wonder if she was, like, if this represented a part of her... Now I'm going to talk about her life, and I'm sorry. But if, like, this was, like, a part of her life that she's ready to move on from, and she wanted to, like, release the album and kind of wash her hands of it kind of situation.
Yeah, totally.
If it's... I don't know.
Can but, I like, just say that your shoulders look massive right now?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Take a picture.
I don't have my phone. Hold on.
Wait.
Where's your phone?
I don't even want to move. I literally don't even want
to
move.
Toss it to me.
What if there's something inappropriate on it?
I'm not going to look.
Don't... You're never supposed to hand... A gay man never hands out his phone. You're going to catch this?
I'm going to catch it. Did you see that? Perfect catch. Okay, bring your elbow in a little bit. Back towards yourself. A little bit that way. A little bit back towards yourself. Hold on.
It was all the angle.
It was the angle. Hold on, I have to... Oh, it wasn't all the angle, but it just really accentuated it.
I feel like a taxidermist.
I'm currently moving Connor's arm. Okay, there we go. That's how you were sitting before.
It looks good now.
It's looked good the whole time. I'm zooming in. Okay, you look amazing.
Wait, so I'm like obsessed with
it. It looks nice. It looks real. Wow, look at that.
Really?
Yeah.
People are not out here telling me this.
People should be.
No one is commenting on my body in public. No
okay,
one ever comments
now,
on me.
Nobody should.
I totally right.
I.
Your therapist is slaying.
My therapist?
Yeah, doing great. Just passing on information to you to share with other
to
people.
To share with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was I going to say?
You're a therapist. It's almost like an MLM program where it's like, you get it, and now we're all getting
it. He therapizes
it.
Me. I therapize you. Of course. Of course. Wait.
It's all about, it's these. You have to do the presses, but I also think like, I do really
this
enjoy.
The lateral.
Love a lateral.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are
love
good.
It. I love it with a cable, actually. To be honest.
Cables are nice.
I'm convinced that no one who listens to this podcast has ever worked out at one time. So like, they might
I have no,
part.
You know, and as has always been the case, I have no sense of who listens to this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
I hope they love it. Okay, wait. There was something else we were going to talk about. Tortured Poets.
So I do like it. I think, I also just think like, can she do a bad, and I'm not saying it's bad. Is it so bad if it's bad? Can
no.
it just be bad?
I agree. I think there we should like, I mean, I think all of our expectations on
like,
all artists
are just.
Bad is
such a weird word anyway.
Well, it's of course a weird word because it's like, that's not really what it's about. It's like, you know, if it speaks to you, that's great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's not like it's like, like, she's an amazing artist. So nothing she does is bad, right? She's already one of the best there is. Like, even her, quote, worst thing is going to be better than
that's me
most
teaching a solid core class.
People, right? Like,
totally.
Of course. I mean, obviously, you're the best of the
sometimes
best.
Sometimes I'll, like, do something kind of off, and I'll be like, well, these other people out here are literally just, like, it's like you got a four-year-old on the microphone. Sorry.
Yeah.
Keeping that.
Keeping
sorry,
that. Sorry.
Sometimes the cool
that's like me coaching. I'm creating champions. Yeah. We have picture day today.
Oh my God. Thank God you look freaking gorgeous.
Thank you.
Do the kids know it? I feel like I was always surprised by picture day.
And well, like I told their parents that it is picture day.
I had crazy calyx when I was that age. And it was just like, it's horrible.
I know. I have like a picture, like a, I don't even know what this was, but there was some like art project book thing I had from like grade school. And it was like in the art project, we had like four of our like class pictures from the last few years. And it was like my second, third, fourth, or first, second, third, and fourth, something like that. And it's just like, I'm wearing like a polo shirt in one. I'm wearing a sweater vest in one. I'm wearing like a button down in one. My hair is short in all of them. I'm like, and who was surprised by the way things turned out?
That's funny. You got to pick your own outfits?
Yeah, for the most part. My mom and I would fight a little bit about it, but she like largely let me. It was like up until a
did
point.
They have to buy the pictures?
I don't know.
I feel like family portraits by a professional photographer are like a thing of the past.
We had those.
We had them when we were like kids.
Did you go to like the mall and do it like in front of a green screen sort of thing?
I don't know. Did you do that?
I remember. I'll show you afterwards. I have a picture of me and my mom and my grandma from one of those. Like we went and got them at the mall.
When
I was a baby.
Oh, wow. Where was your dad?
Working probably. Mm. My grandma was 50.
Gorgeous.
Isn't that crazy? She was 50 when I was born.
What does she know?
She turned 77 as of yesterday when this comes out. Shout out KK.
I just saw my life flash before my eyes because time really not in a crazy. You know what I mean? Time moves though.
Like, yeah.
You get older. Like I'm not a child anymore.
I know. And neither am I.
Like something I'm to consider. For sure, 25% way over the way through my life. For sure.
25% of the way. Well, yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very small percentage in the grand scheme of things. It's a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Anyway. You know what I got to say about me and you? Nobody's doing leg hair like me and you.
You think so?
Nobody. I have not seen one man who has matched you and my leg hair, I'll just say. And that's a call to
your
action, boys.
Your quads are disgusting. What are you doing?
You know why?
Wait, two men comment on each other's bodies. That's the podcast.
This is the body episode. Last time was the mind episode.
Is it soccer? Because I remember thinking it's like, well, I just like need to live and let live.
I do believe that there are certain muscles in my legs that were formed when I was a child that were just kind of always going to be that way.
That reminds me of On Selling the OC when she says something about discernment, and then the other one says, what's discernment? And she says, you don't know that word. And she says, I don't know what that means. And she says, I do believe that you don't. The way that you said, I do believe. I do believe.
Well, I'm confident that there are some leg muscles that only come from like the movements that you have in soccer.
People are like, it's never too late. It might be to have quads.
Well, you can have quads. It's just, I'm also doing those banded exercises. Anyway, not to bore the boys, but boys, this is a call to action. This is a call to action. If you think you have hairier legs than me and Connor, send us a photo. Just of your legs.
My dad doesn't have leg hair at all. It's kind of emasculating, and he's going to listen to this in his car. It feels sad. I hope he hears it after work, not before.
The kids used to call me Bear Man.
That's so nice.
Because of how much leg hair I have.
Wait, flattering.
I know.
Bear, interesting. I'd say werewolf, maybe.
Right?
Wolf would be nice. Wolf Bear's man. A little like...
Bear Man.
Like Hell's Kitchen coated.
They have no idea.
There's one kid that does.
These little children.
One kid knows.
Oh my God. Wait, this was the episode I was laughing at. Okay, so I was watching an episode of Curb. I think it was the season 8, like end of season 8. And there's he's dating Anna Gasteyer, and her son is gay.
Representation.
And he's trying to like, he gets the kid a sewing machine, and then Susie, Jeff's wife, and the mom are like, don't get him that, like he's too young to be like whatever, and he's like, he loves the sewing machine.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. Anyway, what was I just going to say? Tortured poets. What else is going on that we could talk about?
Oh, well, I was gonna talk about Attached.
Oh yeah, tell me, you've been reading Attached?
I read Attached. I'm finished with it. I read 70 pages, but now the part where the anxious is over and I don't really need to read about avoidant. It's not my thing.
Well, it's good to know in case you have a lover who's avoidant.
I know, like you're reading op-ed. No, I'm not going to do that anymore, though. I'm not having that anymore.
Okay.
I'm not doing that.
Don't do it.
The thing with Attached that I like is that it kind of says, you're not the problem. You need to date different people, which I really like. It's like, hey, these are your needs.
You know?
And you just need to be really clear about that.
It's very reminiscent of our favorite video of all time, which is when Tinks was on Drew Barrymore's show. Yes. And she said, I was asking myself, do these guys like me? And then I never stopped and said, do I like them? And then Drew Barrymore makes a face that launched 1,000 ships.
English major.
We'll post it. It's one of my favorite videos of all time.
Yeah. And then she went on to interview Kamala Harris.
And said, we need you to be Mamala.
So funny.
I wish Kamala would take her goddamn job seriously.
I don't know what.
Like,
does.
We are on the verge of crisis, and she's on the Drew Barrymore show.
I know.
I'm sorry. And that's no shade to Drew, but Drew should be interviewing people that have less to do.
Wait, here's what I will say. So,
and I mean that for all the part. Like, I don't even think Kamala should be on the news.
Well, I do agree with Caitlin Collins of CNN fame on Watch What Happens Live. Somehow that feels crazy. Doing a shot with our queer friend Andy Cohen.
Whoa, she was on Watch What Happens Live.
And it's like, don't we have something to cover? Yes. And it's like
there's
what
plenty
do
of
you
news.
Want to do? What's your plan? This yeah. isn't it. Well, here's the thing, though. I do think that I used to work in politics unpaid, and
used to volunteer for politics.
I used to volunteer. The thing with if you can find the right campaign, and they'll let anyone in the door.
Yeah.
No background check, no nothing.
I bet you and I could get on the Trump campaign like no problem.
King, I opened my laptop one day. Gay porn blank. At the Martin O'Malley for headquarters campaign.
Wow.
For campaign headquarters.
Wow.
Martin O'Malley for president, whatever it's called.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's so awkward. It's like really humbling to just like open and there's just gay porn blank.
Wow. And was it loud?
Yeah, it was loud. You know what sound? I mean, here's the thing. The sound was gonna go ahead and beyond, and it was
sorry that was gross.
And I know you don't know anything about me. Like I do, like porn with a story because I'm a dreamer.
Of course, yeah. Something that you and I have differed on before is like I don't give a fuck about the story. I'm never paying attention, and you're all about the narrative.
It's funny because in a pilot, I'll never be able to create stakes. When I watch porn, I'm like, I need to know what the stakes are. I need to know. It's like, why do you need this job?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, maybe I should start giving it some weight and not just thinking about the ex.
Yeah. Storyline is like a whole search term that you can kind of
have a
time with.
What was I going to...
It's funny because there's some guys that really are into the acting and it's like, you can fake it. It's okay.
Well, I've been reading that book, Snuff, by Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote Fight Club. Mm. And it's about like a porn industry. And it's so funny because like there are some like real facts about like the porn industry, like interspersed throughout the book. And I'm having such a fun time reading through all these like funny like names they're giving. Like I'm trying to think of a good one.
Dirk Diggler. Is that his name?
I'm in my Dirk Diggler era. No offense.
Just in that you're hot.
Well, that I'm... I told Sam when we saw that movie...
Well, you said well was so
funny. Well, when we saw... what's it called?
American Gigolo. That's not right.
No.
It was not Fever Pitch. It was not Saturday Night Fever.
God, we are just losing it out here in the heat.
It was in the 90s.
It was...
And it was 700 millimeter. Mm-hmm. That thing men like...
Boogie Nights.
Yes.
When we saw Boogie Nights, I... full on had an epiphany that Dirk Diggler is my new icon. He is who I want to be.
Totally.
Not, I don't want to be Dirk Diggler, as in I don't want to be a porn star, but I want to be that Mark Wahlberg, hot, cute boy, hot. I want to be that. And I turned to Sam and I said, look out, I'm going to be this guy.
You want to know something about you that I think is really interesting, and I think that our identities could come into play with this. You're like, you always have a goal for yourself, and I'm kind of like, I don't know who I am, and I don't know who I want to be or where I'm going, and I really respect that about you.
Thank you.
I need to find a comp.
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of comps out there.
Von Hilliard on MSNBC, that's my comp.
Okay. Show me a picture of Von Hilliard.
Well, he's married, and he always seems to know what's going on. And it's like, what else could you want?
And that's okay, of course. What else could you want them to be married and know what's going on?
Don't DM him. He won't answer.
Okay. Not knowing from experience.
Him. He got married. I unfollowed him. Kind of like what happened with you. Remember we said that was so crazy.
And there you are being, okay, now what's hanging off of your phone? No, that's not who you want to be. Fine. You are so much more handsome than that man.
No, wait, but like, look here.
Connor, I want you to get up and know how handsome you are. I mean, no.
His voice is less gay. I'm just sorry.
That can't be the only thing you're looking for. I also think that, like, so Dirk Diggler, I like his shaggy hair. I will say people are giving me more notice now that my hair is a little bit longer.
When you pass someone and they don't look at you, are you kind of like, what the fuck?
Wait, you know who I ran into on the way here?
Who?
You'll never guess.
Come here.
Former guest of the pod.
Jake Renaud.
No, Sophia Wilson Pelton.
You're kidding.
I know, on a run.
Oh.
They looked incredible.
Wait, they're coming to my hour. They're the only person coming to... That's not true.
No. Well, I guess it'll come. Your hour was yesterday. I'm sure it was amazing.
Yeah.
When this comes out, yeah.
Totally. I never really know how to land the plane, but here's the thing is, if I did, then
it's hard to land the plane.
What would the journey be?
Yeah.
What would the work be?
You know what's been helping me think about it? And I've been trying to think of myself more as the character in the show.
Mm.
And like distancing myself and then being like, okay, what is interesting about this character?
That's interesting.
And this story. And like, what growth are we showing? And almost looking at it as if it's like a movie script and be like, what's the story here?
Yeah, like take yourself out of it.
Just because both of our stuff's so anecdotal that like there is natural story to it and natural through lines. And so like, if you can piece out like, what is the interesting thing about this character? I think that can be helpful.
Well, I think there's something interesting about how my dad, when I was a child, bought me a gold bell dress. And then as an adult, I was at the underwear party in this kind of like underwear that was yellow, but I've made gold for storytelling purposes to kind of have a parallel.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did I go from this love child wearing a bell dress that my father bought me in the 90s when Monica Lewinsky was pegging Bill Clinton in the White House, very different times.
No problem.
To this like, be like, oh, I'll do anything. I didn't even know that was there. Jesus. I've had that chair for way too long.
My hand just reached back and grabbed the tag on a chair that's been here for months. Anyway, continue. I don't mean to cut you off.
It's like, how did I go from that to this? And I think there's something in that that I need to find a way to comedically draw. Because I think that story-wise, that's an interesting parallel. And then do you remember the next week I was like, I went home to for the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a month. It was actually 5 weeks later. But I think that the point of that is that like I go back to my father.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some, to me, it's like, the first 20 minutes or so of my hour is very much about growing up with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get lost in the middle. I get lost in the meadow, but not in a sad way. In a this, the road is life kind of way.
Sure.
And then I go back to him for the 4th of July. where he
like
drives
a good American gay boy.
Like a good American. So I need to find a way to tell that story, that part in a way that, like, it's almost like the pieces of a story are there, and I need to, like, maybe to more, like, view it more as like the character thing and like figure out like what is the narrative here.
Yeah,
like, the elements are here. What are we talking about? What are we saying? Can you write a joke even if it's not true about the 4th of July?
Yeah,
like there'd be something in that. Because again, I'm not communicating any information that's not via joke. I'm not doing like an earnest thing. That's ridiculous.
Right. Well, okay. So here's this is like a little like structure thing that I've been using to help me piece it out. So it starts with once upon a time, and then you just like, where do we start? And then one day, and then like, what's our jumping off point? Like what changed? What, you know, happened? The journey begins, you do your journey piece, and then suddenly without warning, something changes, and then there's no going back. And that's like our final piece. And that's like your last kind of ending point.
I'm probably going to ask you to write that on a list later.
I will. So once upon a time, then one day, then journey begins, suddenly without warning, no going back.
Journey begins and then suddenly without warning. Journey begins and then suddenly without warning. That's a great test. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, interesting way to think about it. Just to like I don't know, because I feel like we all get so stuck. Sorry, this is now shop talk, but like we get very stuck in the way that we tell these jokes and the order we tell them in.
Totally.
And I think also looking at them at like as six pieces, be like, what would this section look like on its own, and like do these jokes kind of like intermix in a different way? Do I like bring it up in a different way? Do I run into this joke a different way rather than like the setup I always do?
Totally.
Because I think that can really freshen it, and like, because you can just pull the essence out. What is the joke? What is the main bit? Like, what are the, you know, obviously there's certain wording that goes with like what the bit's gonna be because you have those pieces already, but like finding a new way in sometimes is really helpful.
I know.
And difficult to do. I think we all get so stuck in the way
we've always told it. That's so true. But in some ways, I like an hour or a half hour in that there's so much framing of different information.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be as helpful if you're trying to look at it the same way.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It is tough.
And it's like to Alex Edelman's point where he's like, I don't write anything down. And I was like, that's so unimaginable. But it's then your brain probably stays a little bit more elastic.
I don't know how you feel though, but do you not like, I know all my jokes and you know all your jokes.
Yeah.
I guess I wrote them down at some point when I was first writing it, but like, and I think there's versions of them written somewhere, but like there's a version of my hour that I wrote out in full just to like look at it. But like, I guess I don't really have it written fully right now.
Ultimately I think two things. Ultimately it becomes bullet points,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, where little words can mean so much. It's like, should you actually go through the process of writing out the sentence and looking at it?
Yeah.
And like, so many times I think approaching a joke, what's so nice about just like coming at it at different times throughout the day is that the brain always hits something different.
Yeah.
Because of where you are, because of what you're doing, because of where you're coming from, how you feel, whatever.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, that's what I always say about open mics, is that it's like, you actually, it's nice to go in 3 minutes to talk on stage and there's something in the room that changes the joke that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that with you. So yeah, like I am more in a place now, which I think is in many ways good, of bullet points, but I do worry that you like will lose the thing of like what are we leaving money on the table?
Yeah, I think that like something I'm learning in this process is that like figuring like the part that I want to like revisit and rewrite a lot of the time is the transitional moments, like the filler stuff, that like sort of expositional stuff that's non-joke, that's meant more for the arc and the story.
You did great at that at your hour.
Thank you. I'm trying to like tweak it even more and like figure out what the full arc is and how I'm going to get there. But that's the part that I like keep rewriting and thinking about, because like to your point, the jokes are done and for the most part. But then also on top of that, there's certain punchlines where I'm like, well, I want that to hit harder now that I'm like putting these all together. Like I want these all to be tens and some of them are sevens. And so like going back into that wording and not being married to the way that it's set up. And sometimes I feel like certain jokes hit harder because I'm setting them up in a different context now.
Yeah.
Because I missed what it's actually about.
You're right that it's like, you could almost draw, the map of your hour is not comedic at all. Like not, I don't mean yours, I mean one, it doesn't need to be comedic.
It
is like you're drawing the Candyland board.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so what are, if you six, whatever.
Yeah.
What is this journey? And this does not need to be funny, but this is, you want them to, it's funny because I was like, I don't want it to be serious ever and I don't need it to be a story. And now I'm like, no, I do.
Well, it can be like, you know, it, it just needs to be interesting.
Yeah.
And we just need to care about the character who is you. And like, we will, because it's funny and you have a very specific voice. And so like, so long as you can just like simplify the structure and make us walk through this journey with you in a way that is fulfilling and like narratively interesting, I think then you're fine. But that's a hard thing. That's like, you know, like the first like 17,000 times we do an hour, it's not necessarily going to click. I mean, like these hours that I find myself running into this thing where I'm comparing myself too much to like my girlfriend's boyfriend, or like, you know, these other, you know, pieces that are online or, you know, on Netflix, because they were finished works of a professional comedian who had run that across the country for maybe a couple years. You know, like Mulaney's most recent special, he toured for 2 years in some of the biggest arenas, and he's at like the height of his like ability. You know what I mean? And it's like, I can't,
just like, I don't know how you feel about this. We can cut this or keep this. It's so much shock talk, but like, we are used to saying jokes in a very specific way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when I did that hour last year where I was like, it's weird, I don't like to talk emotional?
Yeah.
Is there another way to talk that we don't know that we actually can talk like this? Jacqueline Novak talks in a very specific way in her thing.
Yeah.
Is that always, was she doing stand-up like that? No.
I don't know, yeah.
So like, that's very different than what her stand-up style was.
Yeah.
Are there other parts of us that we are not realizing? And I'm like, can you actually deliver earnest information in a way that is not emotional or comedic?
Well, she does, I think, really well in that special. Yeah. One thing I love about that special is it is so vulnerable, because she's talking about blowjobs, and she's talking about learning what that is, and her arc in that is going from not knowing what a blowjob is to learning what it is to thinking she's the queen of it to realizing she's been giving toothy blowjobs and how horrible that is.
Yeah.
To announcing at the end, I am the blowjob queen, and that's like a beautiful ending to it. And so that's what we're following, and it is, it's not like it's unemotional, because there's a version of that where you're, you know, there's another version of that where she's learning that she's humiliated herself and she's crying and she's, you know, forlorn about the whole thing, but we're seeing this version of it years later where she's actually making jokes about it and making light of it. So I think there's ways to talk about, and I think we both do that, like talk about vulnerable things without it being like this heavy thing.
Yes. And I think there's, we were talking about how British people like say that, or like off pod about how British people will like say the way that they're feeling in a
so
way,
earnestly.
It's so earnest and matter of fact. And Americans are always trying to keep their head above water. So they're like, oh my God, no, what do you mean? And it's like, no, it's okay. Like, you can be sad and you can be in love with XYZ and it can be like kind of a sad situation, but it's like, but you're paying your rent every month and you're getting up and you're totally good. You're totally going to go to the gym. Like, you're fine.
Yeah.
And, but Americans are more like fake positivity, whatever. Whereas I think in her style, she kind of like says the matter of fact thing in a way that is humorous, especially to an American audience that is hiding that so much.
Yeah.
That there's like, there's self-awareness is funny to like name the thing that is would seem insane, but you're saying it without an opinion. And it sounds like the words that you're having have an opinion, but you're totally fine.
Yeah.
You're saying something of a traumatized person as a person who's like totally chill. And like, that's, I don't know, there's such an interesting juxtaposition in that.
Yeah, and I find that it's like, it's also hard, you know, I think we also occupy, like, Jacqueline Novak talking about a blowjob is, you know, transgressive, and it is, you know, vulnerable because she's a woman and because it's like a bit taboo, but it's not the craziest, most taboo thing there ever was. And I think that's why it's really ripe for comedy and why it works so well. It's because it's kind of perfectly taboo and funny.
Yeah.
Whereas I think like you and I, because we talk so much about our lives and our identities seep through that, it like sometimes I think people pull back because they are worried for us. And that's like another obstacle to like try to navigate, is like make them be like, I'm okay. Like, you can laugh at this. Like, I find that sometimes people will awe at my stuff sometimes. You know, they'll be like, oh.
I hate that. I try to tell a joke about misogyny. When people do that. I got that. I was like, oh, well, fuck them. I'm out dumb in misogyny. Now I'm kind of neutral in misogyny now, because I didn't want to seem too. I don't want to get like political awes. No.
Yeah.
I thought my joke was funny.
Yeah. It never gets, it never feels right good now. When people feel bad about the joke. And then it's like, can you guys grow up?
I know.
Sometimes I do a joke about how I had to wear a car seat in the car for too long, and people awe, and I'm like, I'm not still in the car seat, folks. Like, I'm not.
I can't wrap my mind around a person that's going to a comedy show and going like, aw. Like, that's just a weird way to interact with information. And it's like, what do you need to be like, so my girlfriend's a real bitch? And then they'll be like a little bit receptive to that. I don't know.
That's why I think it's important to seek comedy fans first and people who are excited about your identity second.
King, I was so excited to say this on the pod. The thing with this industry that no one is saying, no action item here, nothing even.
No action item.
This, this job right now is us trying to convince the dumbest people you've ever met to buy tickets to our show. We are on our hands and we are on our knees. Our knees are bruised.
They're bruised. Knees.
I am begging the stupidest people I've ever met to come to a comedy show. People that will not understand me or the humor.
Yeah.
They are my enemies. They're idiots. They live in Manhattan. They work in tech. I hate them.
And they have money.
And they have fucking money. And I'm begging them to get on a C train to come to Bed-Stuy.
Yeah.
And it's like, for what?
To see you do an amazing job.
This is such a helpful conversation to me and probably no one else.
Well, I hope there's some boys. I think that, you know, based on our last round of, we're maybe going to do another Ask Us Anything. So if you're listening, please get
do
in.
Do you think people turn off Mike Birbiglia's working it out? They finish that and then they turn
and
this
they turn
on.
This on for sure.
Then
for
they
sure.
Bop
for
over
sure.
To script notes.
Yeah, exactly. This is the Working It Out podcast. No. Based on our questions we got last time for the AMA, there were people that were asking us about stand up and craft stuff. So, I mean, some people seem to value our opinions. If you're listening,
you freaking should.
I'm trying to think if there's any other craft stuff I want to even talk about because I love talking about
anything.
That stuff.
It's so helpful.
It's so interesting. Yeah, I'm finding that I also like, again, approaching it with this like thematic, like taking the care, like what I think is interesting about like Jacqueline Novak is a great example of like a really solid piece that has a story to it. Is that like, We do watch her go through a journey, like I just described, like about this, like her relationship to the blowjob. So, which is hilarious. But I think also like having yourself, like figuring out what it is that through line is and that thematic thing. And like, what is the character in your show, that version of you who we're talking about? What is he wrestling with? And what is, and like, what is he figuring out? And like, where does it land?
There's this gorgeous line in My Own Hour. That is... You know, as loving as your home can be, the moment you start school, you're kind of subjected. You're subjected to the least loving family in the school district. Which the word school district, I think, is so funny.
Yeah,
it's like in the school, and it's so true. It's like, honey, I know that you were a belt, and then you get to school, and people think you're weird because you want to play kitchen. They say it's girly. It's like, oh my god, it's the most masculine thing you can play. I got my dad at home making burnt grilled cheeses all day long. So it's like things like that. That yes,
that's funny. There is something really funny to me in all of your material, like that has to do with your dad and your parents and stuff, about the fact that like there is this weird, like, yeah, like you talk about like the nature nurture stuff where it is like you did lean into these more like traditionally feminine activities like that.
Yes.
But in your house, it wasn't who was home. So like it actually is the man who was making that or wearing, you know.
I know. My mom, she's...
Did your dad ever wear an apron or anything?
No, my gay brother did.
Okay.
My gay brother would help him, Nathan, would help him make cookies at Christmas, and he would wear a little apron and sit on the counter.
That's really sweet.
And there's pictures of him like in an apron with a Santa hat on, and then he's like working in government, and I guess we have to keep those pictures secret.
Yeah.
Because they could be used as blackmail.
Because they could be used as blackmail against the government, of course.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other boys clubs I was thinking about this week.
They're around us all of the
they
time.
Are. You know, I was just on tour. I was in Pittsburgh. And I met some really awesome trans guys. Shout out if you're listening, which was really sweet. There was a bunch of trans guys that came to my show, and we took a picture after.
Did it feel Midwestern?
Pittsburgh? Like a little bit. I drove to Ohio the next day for another show, and so I was very much in
Gahanna.
The Midwest.
Your locations were
I was again. In Gahanna, whatever that means. Gahanna, love. Gahanna, Ohio. And I kept waiting.
Is that where Kenyon is?
No, Kenyon's in Gambier.
Ohio, they're trying to fool someone.
They're trying to fool somebody.
These gorgeous ass names.
Actually, Kenyon was beautiful.
No, I totally believe
and
it.
I had a great time. Shout out to the Kenyon students if you're listening. I had a great time. Two drink minimum, the club, the stand-up club there was who put me up.
At Kenyon College?
Mm-hmm.
They have a stand-up, the stand-up, I thought you meant a literal comedy club.
No, they have a stand-up, like a campus club.
Of course.
Where the kids are in.
They had a two drink, it's called
two drink
minimum.
It's called two drink minimum.
Wait, I feel like you're talking to the oldest man you've ever met. I feel like
you turned an age, I won't say what. And now I can't even connect with you anymore.
I think I was always this age.
I think you seem no different than you did a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was always kind of bad.
Yeah.
Wait, that's nice. So these kids, they do stand up on campus?
Yeah, they do. They have like a stand up club. They did a show the night before I got there. And shout out to Isla, who worked at our half hours at Littlefield. She was shout the opener. Out. She did a great job. Yeah, it was really fun. Because those college shows are so hit and miss. And it was like a really fun one. It was definitely like the best one I've done.
When we were in college, I forget who we had. We had like, we would always have like someone from SNL. It would be like Nassim Pedrad.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. That was a deep cut.
I know. And she,
I loved her though.
Wait, did they give you like information about Kenyon that you had to like tell jokes about?
No.
Because they would come and they'd be like, so the other day I was at the Grizzly Bear Cafe or whatever it was, some like thing that's local to us. And be like, can you believe Kappa Sigma? And they'd like do 5 minutes of jokes up top about like our stuff that was just like whatever.
I think that that's, I mean, this is what I've started doing. I just say, make some noise if you're gay, and then okay, allies, and then make some noise if you're an ally, and then I say, and then I'll just go, who's a freshman, who's a sophomore, who's a, and I'll just do like little riffs about that.
Do you feel like a dad when you're there?
A little bit. I mean, I definitely, I'm feeling the, those kids actually were like pretty, I think because they're smart and they just seem more with it. I go to some schools and I'm like, you guys are literally children. And I'm sure if I saw myself in college, I would have been like, that's a child.
Kenyon is an incredible college.
I agree. It was beautiful.
I like wanted to go there.
Yeah, it was really pretty.
My unrealized potential.
I liked it a lot, so.
God, what would, who would we have been if we went to like a weird queer school? I don't mean Kenyon.
Like Brown.
Yeah. Well, then we'd be geniuses.
We would be geniuses.
Who do we even know that went there?
Vince Sice. Yeah. Wait, when I went to Brown...
That's the hottest Ivy.
It's true. I think so. I went to Brown because I was doing a show at a different college in Providence, but I wanted to tour Brown just to see what it looked like. And I went into one of the libraries, just like look around. And then a woman was like, can I help you with anything? And I was like, I'm just a prospective student. And she was like, no problem. Totally believed me. Thought I was a high schooler.
As of recent?
Last year.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
That is really wild.
And then I...
Maybe she was hitting on you, and then when you said that you were a high schooler, you were like, well, she was like, she's like good at
her job.
Well,
she was 76 or so, so I don't think so, but you never know.
Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
Wait, no, what was I going to say? Oh, yes. And then I also noticed something that was different about an Ivy League school is their buildings were named after like Vanderbilt and like Rockefeller. And I was like, okay, so that's a whole different ball game. When you recognize the names on the buildings, that's a different kind of money.
Yes, but like Elon, I wonder if we would have had a crossover names because like
Musk.
I wish. But like because it'd be like really big Southern names that were like maybe bad old South money.
For sure,
that like
bad.
Were involved with like oil and also cotton.
Yeah.
Cotton.
Yeah.
Cotton.
Tobacco. And Wake was big tobacco money.
Mm.
The Reynolds. Mr. R.J. Reynolds.
One time we voted Chick-fil-A off campus and they just moved it under the stairs. Did I tell you that?
Yes.
God, I'm like,
you led the charge, didn't you?
I was involved because I was on the student government, but like, which doesn't mean anything because one of the girls on it also voted to move Chick-fil-A off and now she stormed the Capitol.
What?
I told you this. Lives in East Village. Lizzie Rue. Sorry.
What happened to her between being anti-Chick-fil-A? I mean, that just sounds like an impressionable young woman.
I just think people do have lapses all the time and we are never talking about that. People, it's hard. You just
lapses in judgment.
I don't know, just sort of like your brain goes off and then you're like, now I stormed the Capitol. Like yesterday I loved...
I don't know about that. That's a long... I mean, like, I sure, maybe you're... Like, you know, I think these phones are fucking us up.
Oh, I completely agree.
I think the phone... Everybody, if I can... You know, I know you're on your phone right now listening to us and we're grateful for that. And I think the phones are good for some stuff.
My
and,
dad's on his car radio.
Yes. Don't crash, Mr. Janda. Oh, Connor just got really upset. I didn't even mean to say that.
No, like, I'm trying to like kind of make peace with the inevitability that he will pass.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And it will be devastating.
You know who I could recommend helping you with that?
What?
A therapist.
Well, this book, Attached, really made me think a lot about my dad.
Whatever happened to them?
Gene.
No, is that J-E-A-N or G-E-N-E?
Gene, the J one. The thing with Gene was that they weren't totally
certified.
Graduated.
Yes. Well, that's why it's sliding scale.
And you would hate Gene because they were like, is it so bad to go back to your ex? If that's I was like, Gene, you're making Hallie look good because Hallie with her lip filler was like, at least Hallie was at least good about that. But they didn't understand.
I mean, they probably didn't have the whole story, did they?
Gene was too flaccid. I need someone who's like, who's, I don't need more uncertainty in my life.
You need I'm somebody a who's new gonna be person. Stern.
It's a man.
Yeah.
His name's whatever. And he lives near you. And all I like about him
right.
is that his office is near you. I was like, but at the same time, it's like, well, when the G's down, I'll have to fire him. So like, I don't know, Albert.
You can take the bus.
You're right. You're right.
I bet you could ask for virtual sessions.
Yeah. So, but this book, it's like there are people who are secure
mm-hmm.
that are not trying to play games with you, and they will like answer your text when you like at a normal time, and they'll also just like kind of be normal. And it's like, that's my dad, and you know what you're getting from them, so you feel calm with them.
Yeah.
That's my father. My father's secure attachment.
Yes.
To
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, I think do you feel like, I think that there's a normal part of, I mean, and maybe this is unhealthy by everybody, but I think there's a normal part of the early stages of dating where you're like, I don't want to text back too fast. I don't want to seem overly eager.
No, that was me 2 weeks ago. I'm done with that. I don't care. I'm 30 basically.
Yeah.
And like, I just,
we can't be playing games like that.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I'm 30. I'm on television soon. So like, yeah. I don't have time for
it's
this.
It's only a matter of time.
We are moving. I don't know if people think we're kidding or not. Like, we're moving and we're shaking. Like,
yeah.
I don't have time for this.
We don't have time.
I'm like living, laughing, loving. I'm like living, laughing.
If somebody doesn't lock it down soon, they're going to have to wait till post-production is all I have to say.
And the thing is like, I don't care about them waiting, but like, you're going to be dating a single dad because I'm not like, Andy Cohen just has a baby and like, yeah. I don't know, he has two. So I'm kind of like,
does he really have two children?
Yes.
All in his lonesome?
Yes. And I think that's inspiring. His lonesome, you know, he has a German girl living in there. He's got an au pair, Helga.
Why are all au pairs German? Somebody write in and let us know.
There was a girl that I went to school with who always had an au pair. And I thought it was the coolest thing to have a 22-year-old blonde girl around. Of course.
I remember learning what an au pair was for the first time and being my world was rocked. I was like, what do you mean the babysitter stays with you?
What do you mean you have an extra bedroom and the au pair doesn't get money, but they stay with you? Wait, so that is, you didn't see the movie Au Pair?
No.
Oh, so it was actually a franchise. There's three.
Au Pair 1, 2, and 3?
Swear to God. In the second one, she has like a bad haircut. So like,
okay, it's like, who's naming a movie Au Pair 2, Return of the Au Pair?
Well, it was on like Freeform.
Or Pair 3, Resurrection of the
Au Pair. I'm sure it didn't have a theatrical release.
No, that doesn't sound like a film that gets a theatrical release.
Yeah, but there's one line in it that is divide and conquer, and I had never heard that before. It's like, and I was like, okay, obsessed with that.
Okay, you know that's not original to that, do you?
Now I know. Wow.
I think it's
divide and conquer.
Oh, no, a house divided cannot stand. That's Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Don't ask me what it means, but I just love it.
I think it was about the Civil War.
Well, I think he would not be happy.
He would not be happy because the house is mad divided.
I was thinking the other day about how it's called the United States, and I think that's goofy because it's kind of like show, don't tell. It's like, okay.
But it is kind of exactly what it is. It's like they're all united under one military, but let's not forget that it's really just a bunch of states.
But like, why are we called that when Denmark is called Denmark? Or is it like the Republic of Denmark?
I mean, some things are like the Republic of Congo.
Interesting.
If that's still accurate. I know there's, I don't know if it is. And then isn't China the Republic of China, technically?
That would be like the man named Connor. I don't understand.
People call us the States or the U.S.
I don't know. I think
we presumptive just people in the U.S. call it America, even though it's not actually.
Oh, noted. Totally noted. Got you.
There's just a lot of Americas.
I know. So I feel like we should start, have a whole name, different name altogether.
Yeah. What would you say our name should be?
Emily.
You know, between Canada
Who's
and Mexico, there's Emily. Emily, she's got one hell of a military.
The United Nations Security Council of Russia, France, China, Emily. And Emily. One, the UK.
Yeah, that'd be quite the rebrand for us.
Do you think France is a weird part of that? I don't think France earned it.
Well, France used to be France is one of the original powers of the world. Like back in the day.
That's shocking to me.
I know.
That defies everything I know about the French and just like what France is. I guess Napoleon, you hear about him a lot.
Yeah. And like all the kings and stuff out of there were like a big deal. Like France and England were like huge powers like back in the early days.
I think that, but I don't know. It just seems like they're not.
Isn't that
really
great? Me and my historical knowledge back in the early days. I'm not even given a time frame.
I know what you meant.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't really know how they stand now as a power to the world, but I think they have respect and influence and certainly self-aggrandized respect.
I feel like
they're a major player
Italy
in the soccer
like,
world.
Or
that's
like party boys.
I mean, Italy's really lost its luster. I think their economy. I mean, I don't know how the French economy is. I have no sense of geopolitical anything.
Remember how that Betches book, Nice is just a place in France?
Yeah.
I think that's so funny. That's like when I learned comedy.
Comedy is just
it's
a place
like
in your
there's
heart.
There's three kinds of jokes. There's misdirection, there's blah, and then there's nice is just a place in France. Those are the three types of jokes. <There's>... that's interesting. So like someone's explaining it to me that they won World War II, a man, that they those are the five countries that won World War II together.
Technically, yes. I mean,
so now they run the UN?
I know. It's all pretty fucked. It's like a part of the world was under... There was a war happening. Obviously, it was an atrocious war. And then the fallout of that has been insane. I mean, obviously, we're still seeing that with what's happening in Gaza. Like, that's a fallout of World War II as well.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Because like you download MyFitnessPal in 2015, and it's still on your phone, and you're like, you got to move on. You've got to build a life that is sustainable for you in this future.
Yeah, this future. Yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about World War II to know everything.
We got
to
call clearly. My grandma.
We're going to need one hell of a history book for that one.
So my grandma, she's a huge history buff.
Yeah.
She's super old.
Herstory?
Herstory. She was a history teacher forever.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to text her.
She was a Herstory teacher? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anything else. Okay, so it's like England, France, the U.S.
The five?
Who else?
China, Russia.
Right. Wait, you know what I was thinking while I was in Pittsburgh? I think that senators and politicians shouldn't live in D.C. That's crazy.
Totally.
Especially now that we can call and do like FaceTime and other ways of and Zoom. Like, why don't they?
Wow.
They need to live in their state and get shit done in their state.
That is fascinating.
You know, like, why
you're
the fuck?
Like, why? How come writers have to live other places now or get to live other places, whatever? And it's like, why is our entire country in one place? And it's a shitty place.
Well, it's just like, it doesn't make any sense to me that they would be. I mean, I get that they have to meet and they have to do things, but it's like, shouldn't
they
be worried?
Well, Dr. Oz, he ran for leader of my home state, but I see him at the Equinox weekly.
Oh, God.
Over on Bond.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And well, he looks bad.
So it's not working.
Actually, did I tell you I was going to say something to him? And then I Googled Dr. Oz trans people, and he's pretty good.
Really?
I think he's pro-trans. I used to Google famous person gay people, and then it's ever since I've really become mainstream, I do trans now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because
I was
that's
wondering
the one where you don't know.
When you, no problem, but no tag on your trans flag sidewalk.
I didn't want it to be like, this is the only trans person I care about. I was just like, I can't, I could
you should tag
so
as many as you know.
All of them? Yeah, that's one way to get engaged.
I was like, is this a coming out post?
It's just like I realized my life has been so boring. I don't have enough photos for a carousel. And then the funniest caption I've ever written that like no one even engaged with, 160 likes. What am I, a fake brand on the internet?
Okay, listen, I think Instagram is squashing us.
Do you think it's because of the gay thing?
I think it's all of it. I think that they are making, I think.
That's my only it.
I've been saying virality is obsolete.
Ever since I did the side video.
Virality is obsolete and they know it. Okay, they know it. I think we are over the hump on the way that like we give a fuck about influencers and social media a little bit. Like TikTok is maybe going to get banned. So I found on my Instagram the other day that there is this little part, this little section on my like settings page or something that was like showing me these little awards, quote unquote, I could win. Like little, like,
I hate that.
As if it were a game, and it was like, get like 10K views on a reel and then like you get it, or like get X number of 50K followers and that's like a thing. And like, so I'm nervous that there are these weird little milestones that you have to hit in order to get your platform to reach its full potential, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like they're fucking with us. And so I'm kind of done with it. I'm like not doing this anymore.
Wait, I'll boycott it too.
I think we all need to divest. Stop giving Mark Zuckerberg the power.
But I have enough that if I were to delete all my Instagram reels as a gay man with 12,000 followers,
you'd be
which,
fine.
No, people would think
you have nudes out there.
That is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
You don't have to delete the videos. I'm not saying that.
If you're a gay guy and you have 12,000 followers,
you have a schlong.
You have a schlong.
Or a hole.
Yes, and all your pictures are just like totally normal vibes as you at your grandma's birthday. And it's like, wait, how'd you get all these followers? You're just like a random guy. You work at a bank. It's like,
you have a schlong.
You have a schlong.
Yeah.
You have a schlong.
And 100%.
I don't know that I like that perception.
You don't have to. I'm not saying delete your stuff. I'm just saying that having seen that, it makes me nervous that there is some sort of weird now like ladder we have to climb, and it's not just like you can get, because here's what happened. When I first posted initially, I had my videos did really well.
So you popped.
And I think they wanted me to keep feeding that machine. But as soon as you drop off and don't do that, they put you at the bottom of the barrel and you have to work up this weird ladder. And it's fucked up.
Okay, like honestly,
because it should be a meritocracy and it's not. That's what they advertise with the internet and it's not.
Ugh. I don't know. I actually like feel like ever since I stopped posting 3 days ago, I've gotten so much mentally healthier. Every day I delete Instagram for most of the day.
That's good.
And then I'll like randomly re-download it, because when you can, before you have to like, it's just very easy to just get rid of it and then re-download it when you need it. It's like, it makes my brain so much calmer.
Yeah.
I need to feel disengaged from everyone I've ever
met. It's such a horrible app. I encourage all of our boys to get off the apps, and that means Instagram, Hinge, Tinder,
no.
Bumble.
Okay.
We have to get back out there and meet people in the wild.
Get back, like,
go to live events, meet people in the wild. Way better.
Yeah.
Because you can't get a vibe on anybody off the internet.
I know. You want to be like, is your voice gay? And
that's
how
not
tall
what,
are you?
That's
really?
Not what you want to be like.
You gay voice? How tall are you? You better be taller than 5'4".
Wow. Coming for short men on the podcast.
I always do it with such reverence to you because, like, I literally, like, will defend you to the end of time.
And listen, people are saying that I seem taller than 5'5", so.
Yeah, you're terrifying.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Now that I'm seeing my doctor tomorrow to talk to her about how my Lexapro is going, and I think I'm going to give her 2 thumbs up because I've been feeling good.
Wait, can you just, like, tell me how you feel? How, a lot different than now? Did then you see I the text I sent to Maddie that was people in a survivor challenge? Yes. Do you know the challenge is they just have to hold on to this pole and whoever drops? I was like, it's actually funnier than people even realize. Is that like the challenge is just whoever drops first just loses.
That's hilarious.
And you're just like, for dear life,
just hanging on. I feel like when I started it, I was feeling super depressed and I was feeling really like dreadful every day waking up feeling like, oh, I don't want to do this. I like can't get myself out of bed kind of thing. And I would, but I just like couldn't, I don't know. I felt really, really down on myself all day. And it was just like, I was feeling like, I don't know. I was just feeling very much like nothing felt fun or worth it. And I wasn't enjoying my work. I wasn't enjoying the things that usually make me happy because I was so like overtaken by feeling depressed and anxious. And now.
Did you feel too busy?
Maybe a little bit. I did feel kind of like my energy was everywhere and I couldn't get a hold of anything, and I couldn't get a grasp on my problems, but now I feel very much more like in control. And I like, you know, I feel like a couple weeks ago going on tour would have like really set me off, and I feel awesome today. I don't feel bad at all. I feel way more in control of my life and situations, and that feels really nice.
I was worried when you started that you would realize that we had a toxic relationship.
Oh, and we wonder who else should drop from this poll.
I was like, you just never know. You just never know how.
Listen, everybody who's ever listened to this podcast has said there's one thing that they notice about us is that we fucking love each other.
I know, and we have so great chemistry. Toxic people.
No,
I'm hesitant to tell you that I love you because I don't want to feel like I'm trying to trap you.
You're not trying to trap me.
I know, but that's love.
It's love. Oh my Christ, we gotta get you.
No one will ever love doing a podcast with you as much as I. No, that's okay. I mean, that was a joke, but that's how people talk. That's how men talk.
Well, that's like. That's manipulative, but to say I love you is not manipulative.
Remember one time I dated that guy who was like, do you think anyone will be as flexible with you as I was?
Oh my Christ.
And I wanted to be like, I don't know.
I think yes, okay? You are not to position yourself as the center of someone else's love is not love.
The opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
Attached.
Rent the musical.
All right, I have to go to work, so we gotta go.
Seriously?
But I know, I'm sorry.
What time is it?
It's 3:15 almost.
Okay.
But this has been a great,
incredible.
This boys, and again, I hope this is not 2 episodes in a row where you were like, these two need to get a life. I hope you guys are having fun, enjoying our little craft episode. If anybody's a stand-up that's listening, maybe you're like these idiots, don't know what they're doing, but. I hope you.
And I think that this could be applicable to your job working 9 to 5 selling insurance.
Listen, because if you're a salesperson, you're also telling a story. So think about those tenets we were talking about. Okay, live show, May 30th. Please come. Well, then we'll have a June show. There's a lot of Pride shows coming up. Pride's coming up. We're going to have some exciting things, hopefully, this year. Anything else?
No, boys, we love you so much.
Connor is wearing a shirt that says no hate. I'm just kidding.
Josh Hutch, no hate, Josh Hutcherson.
Josh Hutcherson, straight, not narrow. Straight, not narrow.
We
okay.
Need that back.
We love you, boys. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.